start this, continue this series. And this is on our praise series, the power of praise. And this is very important to my life. And I'm looking at, we're going to start a series on healing probably by before the end of the month. Maybe so. We're looking at starting a series on healing, and I've been working on it for a long, long time. And I actually got more to do on praise, but I'm probably going to split that up over the year, and in between series, do another little section on praise. And my wife's encouraged me to not do such long series. And, you know, so, hey, I know how to stop and start, you know. And so anyway, I hope this, I believe this will really be a blessing to you. I know because it's been a blessing to me. This is not theory to me. This is something I lived. I've lived. Really, since I was a teenager, I've learned a whole lot more about it over the time. But when I went through the darkest season of my life, this was important to me. And this helped. Okay? Jesus is your lifeline. And I want to tell you, it's important for you to know how to reach up and grab the rope. And I'll tell you, this is powerful. I know, because it has been for me, and I believe it will be for you. And so I'm looking forward to getting in this today. I'm going to give it all I got, and we're going to try to cover this material. And but this is out of Isaiah 12. Jesus is our wellspring. We welcome those of you on podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in. We celebrate you, we honor you, we pray for you, and we're excited about investing in you today. And that's what the Word of God is. It's precious, powerful seed that's incorruptible. And so His seed, His Word, comes to pass. He watches over it to perform it. And so here we are. Jesus is our wellspring. This is out of Isaiah chapter 12. And I always like to try to point out what the original Scripture, it's a prophetic word, Isaiah 12, and this is actually spoken to the Israelites. This is spoken to the Jews about how that they're going to respond to Jesus during the end time, or during the millennium. And once Jesus comes to set up His government on earth, this is how the Jews are going to respond to Him. But it's really sweet because the Holy Spirit's able to take us that have received Him and are receiving Him now, and show us by the picture and the pattern here about how that we're to respond to Him. How do we're to respond to Jesus now in our salvation day. And so it's a beautiful picture here. And I want to say this is life to us. And this blesses the Lord for us to respond in this way. And it also shows us that it's a powerful witness. This is God's promotion program. All right, God's promotion program. It's a witness to the believer and the unbeliever. We're to witness to both in praise and thanksgiving. And of course, we know, we've covered this in the praise series, this brings them honor and glory. Now, there's always, there are people that question me when I go back to look at pictures in the Old Testament. But Galatians 3:7 tells me it's okay to do this, because Galatians 3:7 says, know and understand that it's really the people who live by faith who are the true sons of Abraham. And so this is why I'm able to boldly say to you that the promises of Abraham, or the promises to the Jew, are also a picture of His heartbeat for us. And when we say the promises to Abraham, we're talking about the promises of Father. Well, we have the same Father. And through Jesus, He's made it possible for us to be blessed with all spiritual blessings. And all the saints said, amen. John 4:14. I'm going to show you some pictures of a wellspring. And I'm calling it an artesian well. That Jesus is an artesian well for us. Now, I don't know if you've ever had any experience with an artesian well. I have. I'll share a little bit of that with you. But it's also pictured in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. And that's what Jesus is for us. Look at John 4:14. 4:14, and whoever takes a drink of water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling, continually within him unto and for eternal life. Now that's the description of Jesus, the Spirit of God inside of you. and what he is to us. He is an artesian well. Do you see that spring of water welling up? John 7:38 says, "He who believes in me, who cleaves and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being," look at this now, "shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water." Wow. What a great description. Hey, I'm telling you, Jesus in you. Resurrection life in you. Abundant life in you. Everlasting life in you. Wow. And so when we look at Isaiah 12, which we're going to do here in just a second, in the Old Testament, we look at the Old Testament through New Covenant glasses, and the Holy Spirit's able to enrich us. Anyone here want to be enriched by the Spirit of God today? Yes, we do. Well, you're at the right place, and you're listening at the right channel. So 1 Corinthians 10:6 says that these things are examples to us. Talking about the Old Testament. They're examples to us in the now through the New Testament. And so when you see the word examples, let's all say pictures. That's a good picture. And that's what I love to bring out and share with you. And they're for us in living now. There's admonition and there's instruction, there's correction, and there's warning in this also. And so we can see the Lord, see ourselves, and see his heartbeat for us. It speaks of Old Testament being examples, being pictures for us. And this is what happens when you meditate on God and his word. We're all the time telling you, see Jesus in the word. Because when you see Jesus in the word, this is what changes you. A sermon by itself may not change you. But when you see Jesus in the word, that changes you. You say, well, yeah, I've had people say, you know, that's too simple. No, that's really that truth. Okay? The Holy Spirit shows us Jesus. But I want to tell you, when you see Jesus in the word, he changes us. He transforms us into his image. And it's through seeing him. Beholding him. All right? From being conformed to the world to being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And you know I love that scripture, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed. And it means to be poured into the mold of the world. Don't be conformed to this world, this age. Be fashioned after or adapted to its external superficial customs. That's why we gave out that little booklet this morning on how to have New Year's traditions that point to Jesus. But be transformed. Everyone say metamorphosis. Yeah, you think about the little, I started to say worm. Caterpillar, see, I'm in the right channel, right area. The caterpillar being turned into the butterfly, that's the transformation. And that type of change is what he wants to do in our heart and life, and he does that through the word so that you may, for the entire renewal of your mind, new ideals, new attitude. You say, well, I have a bad old world attitude. That can change. Okay, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable perfect will of God. I'm telling you, your life can reflect the good will of God for you and for people. Your life can reflect the perfect and acceptable will of God for people. All right? I'm telling you, we're talking about a living sermon. Living testimony. Not perfection, but I'm talking about that's for us. Even that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight, because he has that in mind for you. Okay, you ready for Isaiah 12? Look at verse 1. And in that day, all right, that's the day of salvation. Some of you have not accepted Christ yet. And so you don't know about the day of salvation. But the day of salvation is when you confess Jesus as Lord and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. You repent of sin. You choose Jesus. You say yes to Jesus. Jesus comes into your life. Okay, I want to tell you, that's the day of salvation. That's a life-changing day. And so don't think you're going to get all the rest of this without that. That is a, I want to say it in a scriptural way. In a scriptural way, it's the first importance principle. The principle of first importance. I just worked on this week for the healing series. But when it comes to healing, that's not the first priority purpose of God. It's not your healing. The first priority purpose of God is your salvation, is you receiving Christ. You being forgiven of your sins. And you'll see it in Scripture. I want to show this to you in probably 6 weeks from now. but how that every time, and salvation means more than forgiveness of sin. But I want to tell you something, scripturally, and we look at scripture and follow scripture, scripturally, every time the principle of first importance says this, first, forgiveness of sin. And because of our forgiveness of sin, then we're able to receive the rest of his salvation, which is healing, which is provision, which is deliverance, which is whatever else we need. But it's first receiving the great I am, and then we receive all that the great I am is. Okay, I want to tell you now, that lit me up this week while I was studying on that, working on that. But behold, in that day you will say, the day of salvation, this is going to be your testimony. And let me rush to say, there's been a number of people that I've led into prayer to receive Christ, and they say something like this. Let's keep this a secret, okay? Let's not tell anybody. And whenever I hear that, my heart goes sad. Because I want to tell you something. When Jesus comes into your heart, I'm telling you the natural born-again experience, just like it is for a baby to shout when he come out. Okay? It's for a believer to confess Jesus is Lord. Part of it. And when they don't want to do that, uh-uh. Okay? Ain't happened. In that day, when you receive Christ, and we're going to have an opportunity for that today, you're going to say, I will give thanks. I will give thanks to you because the Lord does something for you that no one else can do, you can't do for yourself. He forgives your sins. And look at this. For though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. Now I want to tell you, that's the story of salvation. Because I want to tell you something. In your sin, because of your sin, Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price on the cross for your sin. And I want to tell you what Jesus did. He satisfied the wrath of God for your sin. And I want to tell you, when you receive that, it becomes personal to you. It becomes real to you. It becomes manifested to you. Okay? And I'm here to say to you, when you receive Christ, I want to tell you, it becomes known in you. You may not be able to explain it in a lot of words, but I want to tell you, here's the truth about salvation. The anger of God has been satisfied by Jesus Christ, his penalty. He paid the penalty on the cross for our sin. You're forgiven. And you go from God being an enemy to God being your comforter. Okay? Your attorney is one of the words described. You've been acquitted. And Jesus goes from being your enemy to being your friend, your joint heir, your Lord, your Savior, your King. And I want to tell you, this is beautiful. This is the testimony of salvation. Your anger has been turned away and you comfort me. And so in New Testament eyes, the day of salvation, I want to tell you, we have so much to be thankful for. Sometimes we meet with people and they're so oppressed and discouraged. And I understand we get there. Humans can get there, but we get believers there sometime. That'll say, I'm just overwhelmed and it's dark. And I say, well, what are you thankful for? There's nothing. What can you list about that? I have nothing. Well, we go back to salvation. That's a great place to start. Because if you're saved, you have a lot to be thankful for. And you can start there and go from there and progress into greater things. But I want to tell you something. It's the day of salvation. If you've received Christ, you have so much to be thankful for. We receive the gift of everlasting life, and it starts when you pray and receive Christ. That's beautiful. You're totally and completely forgiven. There's no condemnation. Okay? Jesus satisfies the wrath of God. I think I've already covered that, so I'm going to try to move on. But it goes like this. God's not mad at you anymore. Because Jesus took care of that anger because of sin. Isn't that beautiful? And so he's like this towards you. He reaches out his arms towards you. And scripture talks about that he's now our comforter. Okay? And that's what Jesus said. He said, I'm sending one in my behalf. It's just like me. And his name is Comforter. Why would he send a personal comforter when we receive Christ to be within us? Because we need a lot of comfort. Come on now. Daily, continually, we need a lot of comfort. And I want to tell you something, as much as I have the First Lady, and she's an amazing woman of God. I want to tell you, she's not able to comfort me in all the ways I need to be comforted. Do you understand? Okay? And I want to tell you, but Jesus can. The Holy Spirit is here. Personal power. Just like Jesus. And you say, well, you know, he's the comforter. Maybe Jesus not. God's angry. No, no, no. It's all the same. Okay? Hey, God's referred to as the God of all comfort. When Jesus ministered to people, he ministered comfort to them. He personally loved on them and ministered to them. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for us now. God ministers to us. He's our advocate. He's our joint heir. Look at verse 2. Behold. Now, behold can mean a couple of different things. It can just simply mean look here or listen up. It can also say recognize this. Look and see. And the picture I have is of the Israelites going through the wilderness. They were being complaining against God and rebellious. Snakes were released to attack them, and they were dying because of snake bites. And Moses cried out to the Lord. The Lord said, build a cross, a pole. Put a serpent on that pole as a picture, and they look, and they'll live. And they did. When they held up, Aaron runs in between the snakes and the people. He held it up, and all those who looked by faith, the look of faith, following the Lord's direction, they looked, they lived, they were healed. All those that did not were dying. Now I want to tell you, behold the Lord. Behold the Savior. Look to who He is. We never get so mature we don't look at the cross. Okay? There's a whole lot in the cross. People misunderstand sometime when they're sick or when they're in need. And they come to me and say, I need money or I need healing. And I say, let's look at the cross. They say, well, wait. I already know about that. I already know about that. Yeah, Jesus died for our sin. I know that. No. We go back there because I want to tell you, that's where it starts and that's where it finishes. It's because of the works of the cross. And so in this healing series coming up, you're going to hear a lot about crucifixion. You're going to hear about the cross. You're going to hear about forgiveness of sins because that's the place where it starts. Okay? And so here we are. Behold, look to the Lord. Look to God your Savior. Look to Jesus. See Jesus. I mean, that ought to ring a bell because we say that so much to you. And it's got an exclamation right there on the end of it. He is your salvation. See Him and all that He is to you. Look at the result of that when you do. You will grow in trust. Your response from seeing Jesus is to trust. That's the heart response. And sometimes people get a little concerned because we preach grace and they say, you know, you need some law mixed in there because if you just preach the love of God and the hope of God and the direction of the Lord, the goodness of God, then they're going to go out and do this. No, that's not the response of love. Okay, anybody that responds like that's not responding in love. Okay, anybody that takes a message that we describe on grace and they want to say, well, I'm free to go do this, that's a person that needs to receive Christ. They don't have the hope in Him. Well, I'm not. Yeah, okay. That's true. I'll get to that in further weeks. But I'm here to tell you that it's very, very important for us to behold Him. And when we see Jesus in the Word, you're seeking the Lord and seeing Him in your life, and you're giving thanks and celebrating. The more you see Him, the more you're changed. And you will grow in your trust. He proves Himself to you. You'll trust Him. You won't be afraid. Look, this helps out with fear. Discouragement and fear. Why? Because you see the Lord for who He is. The Lord God is your strength and your song. Wow, that's good. And so you see God, you get to know Him better. This is talking about relationship. The more you know Him, the more you love Him. Be still and know that He's God. It's relationship. The more we trust Him, the more we are expressing faith, saying yes to Him, the more we're believing because we know Him better. We trust Him. Okay? It goes from recognizing Him to receiving Him. Okay? Isaiah 26:3. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he commits himself to you. See, this is relationship. This is not just rescue. Yes, he will rescue you, but this is relationship. You're growing, okay, in your relationship. You commit yourself to Him. You lean on Him more, and you have confident hope in Him. Wow. Now, see, that's faith. That's faith, not fear. It's believing versus unbelieving. God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, 2 Timothy 1:7. He didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but He has given us a spirit of power and of love and calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. That spells the fruit of the Spirit. It spells Jesus. Wow. The Lord is my strength. I've told you that that word strength is a bridge word to health. Health, source of power. He's our source of power. He's my song. You know what that is? Hey, you begin to know Him better. You realize He's not just the reason for this season. He's the reason for all seasons. Okay? And He's my joy. My joy is not based on a happening out here. It's based on who He is. And He's in me. He's my source of joy. That makes a difference. Wow. That's exciting. I'd like to stop. I got to go. Philippians 4:13, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses. Do you see that? Wow. Infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Oh, there ought to be a shout. So what we're seeing here is that my Savior from verse 1 in verse 2 is becoming my experience. And so from the gift of everlasting life, we're beginning to experience Him as abundant life. From everlasting living to abundant living. That's the testimony of a believer. He changed me in verse 1. He's changing me in verse 2. Is He changing you? I'm telling you. Look at verse 3. Here it is. So we recognized Him. We received Him in verse 2. Verse 3, we start responding to Him. Wow. I talk to you about that all the time, the three R's. Therefore, with joy. Now I want to tell you, when you need to draw water, when you need to draw water out of the well of salvation, it's because you have a need. Do you understand? All right. Hey, financially, health, emotionally, out of the soul, out of the situations of this journey, because this journey is full of troubles. Now I'm telling you, that's when you need to draw water. And so you draw water because you have a need, because you're thirsty. Am I right? Because you see a need. Okay, well look at this. Before you draw the water, with joy, you draw. Now, this is where faith comes in. This is what comes in from receiving God in verse 1 to experiencing God as a part of your life in verse 2, so that now you're at the place in verse 3 because you trust in the Lord. You're going to draw water with joy. Okay? Again, we've covered it in the praise here. This is where you give thanks and you praise before it's all over with. Before the victory's over. All right? Before the battle even begins. When the need first shows up, you can go ahead and with joy, because of who He is, you can draw water. All right? Therefore, with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. Why? Because He's my present and He's my eternal salvation. Yes, He is. Okay, when I was a boy, there was an artesian well that was probably about, you know, your distance as a boy is, you know, you wonder. Okay, but this was on little bicycles, and we would travel, I want to say probably about 5 miles, man. Dirt roads, trails, down to where the river was, and by the river there was this artesian well. And I guess they had tried to drill for oil there, but water came, and there was just this pipe coming out of the ground, and cold water was just shooting out of that pipe continually 24-7. And it was the best tasting water, at least we were convinced it was. Probably was. But I'm telling you, as a boy, we'd go all that way, hot, humid, East Texas, go all that way to get a drink of water. Okay, we had water at the house, but okay, you understand. But I'm telling you, we'd get there, and we'd drink so much water where we couldn't drink anymore. I'm telling you. And we'd get ourselves all wet in it for the ride back. But it was cold water, and it was good-tasting water, and it never stopped. It was a continual flow of water bubbling up out of that. That's Jesus. He's our artesian well. The I am is in me. He's my joy. From my needs, I draw water. There's more water than I could ever take in. There's more water than I could ever need. Somebody say amen. That's for me. So we need to practice receiving the water. The life-giving Spirit and His Word is a picture of water. Okay? I think it's Ephesians 5 when it's talking about the husband and the wife relationship. Well, I want to tell you, and this is, people take this and jump ahead and say, you know, the husband is supposed to wash his wife with the water of the Word, and that's true. But the way it's first presented is Jesus does this with the body of Christ. With His Word, He washes the bride, the church, with His Word. He cleanses with the Word. I want to tell you, the Word has a cleansing effect. It will refresh you. It will cleanse you. It will correct you. It will inspire you. It will energize you. This is the power of the Word. And also in John 15, I think it's verse 3, Jesus is talking to the disciples, very important time, and He says to them that you're already cleansed by the Word. You're corrected and you're cleansed by the Word. You're pruned and you're cleansed by the Word of God. So the washing of the water of the Word is very, very powerful, very, very real. But that's what He is to us. He's our salvation. And I want to tell you, you know, I've taught you that in the New Testament, the Greek, the word sozo is presented as salvation, that it is forgiveness of sin, but there's also health and deliverance and financial provision there. You know, it's God's protection. It's all that He is. Salvation is. Well, I was excited to look it up in the Hebrew about what this term salvation, and guess what? Don't be surprised. Same thing. Because it's describing who He is. And so really and truly, when David said, He sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies, this is true. He's an artesian well for whatever you're facing. He has more love, more joy, more peace, more present help. Right now, 2018, fixing to be 2019, than we could ever use. Think of the artesian well. Hey, listen to what David is saying. My cup runneth over. Is it any wonder when we practice receiving that our cup runs over? It's supposed to. There's more of Him than what we could ever use. So what happens when our cup runs over? It's supposed to splash on other people. Freely receive, freely give it. That's the kingdom way. And verse 4 says, in that day you will say to others. In that day you will say. So it's gone from receiving salvation of the Lord in verse 1. Experiencing salvation in the life, verse 2. Drawing water from salvation in verse 3. The wells of salvation. He's my wellspring. To where it's overflowing, and you've received out of the Lord all that He is, more than enough. So that in verse 4, now you're saying to others, you see it? Yeah. And in that day, you will say to others, hey, y'all get in on this. Get in on the wellspring. Hey, it's not just for me, it's Him. And what He's done for me, He'll do for you. And so receive the overflow yourself. And the way to do that is to give thanks unto the Lord. Mm-mm. Oh man. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that this is so real and it's so simple that all of us can catch it and practice it. They can catch this and practice this in children's church. You know what you do when you're in need? You know what you do when you're being overwhelmed? You know what you do when the enemies are... You know what? Hey, draw water from the well of salvation with joy. You practice giving thanks. And when you receive, share with others. Tell them and proclaim. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. I want to tell you, that's powerful. We ask anything in His name, we get it. You ask and you receive. This is Jesus. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, and by means of His name. And Solomon, you know what? This is prayer. Man, this is marking off a spot right here and saying, in His name, I refuse this junk, and I receive the wellspring. You got to encourage people to make this a part of their life, to make it a battle, make it true, make it real. Declare and make known His deeds among the peoples of the earth. You know, this is a powerful form of witnessing. is to, in your heart, rejoicing and giving thanks to the Lord. Somebody comes up with some kind of question, some kind of statement, it's easy to say, can I share with you what Jesus did for me? I was in that situation one time. This is what Jesus did. This is how Jesus showed up in my life. This is what His Word says about that very thing you're talking about. And you see, it's a witness of thanksgiving. It's a witness of hope. I want to tell you, we need to do that with believers. We need to do that with unbelievers. Same way. They need to hear it. Okay? And this is one of the easiest forms of witnessing is to practice giving thanks. Declaring and make known His deeds among the peoples of the earth. Proclaim that His name is exalted. This is the kingdom promotion program. And it's our joy to do it. It's a day of refreshing. It's a day of renewing. A day of revival. His blessing, His love, His salvation, His joy, His peace, His rescue. Not just for you, it's for others. This is kingdom. Love gives, freely receive, freely give. The flow of river is His life. And you share His life. You speak, you testify, you share with others about how to draw water from the wells of salvation. There's more than enough. When you see and hear the testimony that we heard this morning, this is not just for this pastor that shared. It's for us. Okay? And this is how we receive from God. You know where it goes back. Beholding Him. Come on. You look to man. Problem there. Look to yourself. Problem there. You look to Jesus. Benefit there. Give thanks. Enter His gates, the Bible says. He inhabits His praise. Call upon His name if we ask anything. You know what? You're a joint heir with the Lord. You're not by yourself. You're in on what He's doing. By His name, we represent Him. We represent His heart, His will, His word. That's why we declare and decree His words and His works. Okay? When we got the report this past week that this family had a baby that was in need, we immediately stopped. And we declared and decreed God's heart and God's will for the baby. Okay? Look, that's our joy and our privilege. Because out of the wellspring of what He's doing and done in our life, we speak it and release it to others. That's kingdom. That's what love does. Esteem and proclaim His name. His name is above every name. Let's all say amen. Esteem everything else. Remember the seesaw. Okay? You shouldn't be up on top in the kingdom seesaw. Jesus should be up on top. Don't get offended by putting your eye on other people. Don't get depressed by looking in the mirror too much. Look to Jesus. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get loved when you look at Jesus. You're going to receive hope when you see Jesus. Receive of Him. Look at verse 5. Sing praises to the Lord. This is just absolutely the overflow of the goodness of God. That ought to be a song on your heart. And you know what? You ought to be singing that song and loving on the Lord. That's a song in your heart. I want to tell you, we had Doc here with a stethoscope, and he's running around listening to your heart. There ought to be a song of praise. There ought to be a song of joy. I aggravated my wife a little bit this morning when she first woke up because I'd been up a long time, and I went in to sing this little Christmas song just to aggravate the far out of her. But that's just me loving on her. But I want to tell you something. The song of my heart was something else. But hey, if Doc came and put the stethoscope on your heart, what would be the song today?
Amen.
Come on now. This is describing Isaiah 12. This is your heartbeat. This is your checkup. Okay? Hey, Dr. Wong contacted me this week and said, I ain't seen you in a couple years. The only reason you came in a couple years ago is because you hadn't been in 2 years before that. And so in 4 years, I seen you one time. It wasn't because you had a problem. I think you need to come in and let me just say hi to you. Well, okay. But you know, it's a good testimony that I hadn't had to go see him in 4 years. Okay, for a problem. Now, not that there ain't things that need to be healed. I'm receiving. I got more to receive. But I want to tell you something. There's a testimony in that. What's a song on your heart? It could be tears and beers song. But I want to tell you, there's a better way to live. Okay? And it's by practicing what the Bible says. For He has done excellent things in glorious ways. He's done excellent things. Let this be made known to all the world, all the earth. Do you see that? That means everybody needs to hear it. Lord, I even sing it to my little cat. But I want to tell you something, man. All the creatures of the earth. I'm telling you, the whole world needs to hear that song in your heart, the praise and the thanksgiving of what your God's done. Hey, blessings journal. Declare and celebrate His goodness. That's our heartbeat. It's for you. It is for you. It edifies you. It builds you up. It helps you receive of the wellspring. But it's also supposed to be shared with believers and unbelievers. It's also a weapon of warfare. We've taught you about that. Be advised, this is true, that when you're under attack, the best thing you can do is practice Isaiah 12, and you behold the Lord, and you experience the Lord, and you begin to draw water out of the wellsprings of salvation, you begin to praise and give thanks. You know what? This ministers to the Lord. Not just for you, it's for others. But you know what? It's for the Lord. You minister to the Lord. And I want to tell you, hey, you cannot love on the Lord and not receive love back. I'm telling you the way He is. He's got a Father's heart. You can't outlove Him. You go love on Him and bless Him and minister to Him. Hey, you got it coming. In big ways, in bigger ways, that's His heart for us. Look at verse 6. It says, to cry aloud. Should this be just a personal, quiet thing that you keep to yourself? No. 1,000 times no. You think when the Bible says cry aloud, you mean it means cry aloud? Hey, when it says to shout joyfully, do you think it means to shout joyfully? Or should it just be a whisper or a whimper? No, I'm telling you. Hey, to shout joyfully, to shout out loud, to cry out loud, to shout joyfully, that brings honor and glory to God. You say, well, what about people? It's not about people, it's about Him. They don't have any problem shouting out loud, crying aloud, joyfully at a ball game. What about all the people there? Oh, my goodness. You know, some people, you shouting and crying aloud are going to offend them, especially if they're for the other team. You know, it's just going to offend them. But you know, they don't. That's no problem. Okay? That's no problem. I shared with my grandkids in North Carolina about Pastor Zach when he used to run high hurdles. And he was a district champion, city champion, set new city record, school record, city record for the high hurdles. And I'll tell you what, it was amazing to watch him. I don't mean no harm by it, but, you know, the gun would go off and you'd see everybody but him. Then about that 60-yard mark, all of a sudden, here come the tall white boy. I don't mean no harm by that. But I was looking for him. About the 60-yard mark, he'd show up. And he just had a different gear. And I want to tell you, it was him and no one else to the finish line. That's why he set those records. That's why he's city champion, district champion. Okay? Hey, look. I want to tell you something. I didn't have to look in a book and say, Zach's winning. Okay, raise your voice, cry loud. When he crosses the finish line, cry joyfully. I didn't have to have that. Because you know what? I love him. Wait. I love him. Let me tell you something. I'm for all of them, but I want to tell you something. I want to see that boy named Hall. I want to see him come across the line. And I was involved in his dreams and in his vision. And in his desire, I fed the boy. I changed his diapers. I'm involved in his life. And when he running down there, you know what? It bubbled up in me. Somebody say yes. It came up all in me. If somebody tried to stop me, it wasn't going to happen. I'm the one that was down there at the finish line that was hollering and going crazy and shouting loud and celebrating. Okay, you know why? Because that's what love does. And I want to tell you, the Lord has done wonderful things in your life. He is worthy. Are you involved? Are you connected to His heartbeat and His vision? Are you a part of His dreams? Have you recognized and received all that He's done for you? Well, sing praises to the Lord for the excellent things that He's done. Let it be known throughout all the earth. Cry aloud and shout joyfully, you women and inhabitants of Zion. You say, well, that knocks me out. No, it doesn't. Because I want to tell you, Zion is a picture of the church. Now look at it. You people in the church, talk about the women. Hey, listen, we're the bride of Christ. Don't get offended by that. That's what the Bible says. God wants to call me a bride. I say, yes, sir. Yes, I am. Okay? And I want to tell you something about a bride. Her countenance and her words show her love and respect. Are you listening, church? Your words, your response, your attitude, your respect and honor to the groom, Jesus, reflects the reality of your love life. Mm-mm. Well, because why? Great in your midst, never let it be forgotten. One of the ways we remember is by continually practicing thanksgiving and praise and celebration and beholding Him. Never let it be forgotten that great in our midst, I'm telling you, right here, wherever you are tomorrow, He's right here. Great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. And He has you in mind. He has a heart for you. Now, here we are. I'm just going to tell you, by grace, it's been freely provided. Jesus provided for this to be true for you. It's not earning it. It's not putting on your cowboy boots by yourself. It's not that. He's freely provided it. Through faith, we freely receive it. It's our yes to Him. So let's seek God till you see Him. Okay? Let Him be your strength. Let Him be your song. Let Him be your source of joy. Let your gift of everlasting life be manifested as abundant life. That's what He wants. Remember and meditate on Him. Give thanks for forgiveness. That you, because of Jesus, are totally and completely accepted. Receive His comfort and ministry to you. And minister that love to others. Romans 5:17 says this, and I'm going to finish with this. For if because of one man's trespass, that was Adam, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness that puts us in right standing with Him will reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you, reigning as a king in this life does not mean that we're trouble-free. Reigning in this life as a king does not mean we're stress-free or that we're attack-free. Are you with me, church? It does mean that by grace, it's been provided, our artesian well, more than what we could ever take in, is there for us. It's got our name on it. The gift of righteousness, all of our sins have been paid for, and so they do not disqualify us from receiving. Because when I talk about receiving the artesian well of the overflow of God's abundance, in whatever area you need, a lot of people automatically think, oh man, I'm not qualified. I did wrong last week, man. I had a bad attitude. I had these bad thoughts, man. I had these bad dreams about this. I didn't act right. Attitude. His blood covers, grants us freely His gift of righteousness. So it's not on our performance. Receive what His grace has freely provided. The wellspring and the artesian well. Now, if you've never given your life to Christ, this don't work for you until you let God be your God of salvation. Amen. And the way that happens, and the way it'll happen this morning, we're going to have helpers. Y'all come on up, if you will. People that's going to help me pray for people. You come up here and you tell one of these people, I need him. They know what that means. Because it's got to start with personal salvation. It's not based on how godly your grandma was, or your big mama, or your granddaddy. Not based on that. You know what it's based on? You. Your relationship with Jesus. You got to personally receive it. And so you come forward for prayer, and you tell one of these precious people, I need him, and they will lead you into accepting Christ as your Savior. And once you receive the God of your salvation, then verse 2 and all the rest of it is for you. Is that exciting? I'm telling you, I love what he has provided for us, and he's done it freely. It's not on our works, it's on him. None of us deserve it. But he paid the price for all of us to receive it. Okay? He suffered so that we could freely receive. Hey, total acceptance in him when we come to receive him. That's what our Lord's done. And I'm praying for you right now, and I thank you those that are listening on podcast, and we're going to have some ministry time right now. But would you pray, and would you ask Christ to come into your heart and life? Would you let the wellspring of life be a part of your life? That's what he wants. Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, and we just declare that Jesus is Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you for drawing people in this meeting. And we receive what you're doing. And we just say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.